Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, did you ever think we'd see, at least this soon, a contract as big as the one your brother's teammate Patrick Mahomes just signed yesterday?
No, but I don't think we ever expected to find a Pat Mahomes. So it makes a lot of sense. I even tweeted after the Super Bowl, I should give him a 10-year deal for $400 million. And it's rare that, you know, a deal is sort of team-friendly and also very player-friendly. I mean, the way the guarantees work, they trigger 2 years out,
right,
which is very rare with those roster bonuses. Normally that's a year out or even the year of it gets guaranteed. I mean, this is 2 years out, so his 2024 salary gets guaranteed in 2022. So the Chiefs don't really have outs, and Pat obviously doesn't really have an out, and he's not going to make a ton of money the next 3 or 4 years. I think 2023 is when the cap number gets above $40 million, or at least close to that. So it kind of works out both for everybody. The Chiefs can build their roster up right now. We'll just keep everyone they have. Right? I mean, they have a lot of highly paid players, and maybe extend Chris Jones and then try to keep this core together for probably 2 or 3 more years and make a couple more runs. And they're going to have to, at some point, obviously, everyone's going to retire or get older, and they're going to have to draft really well and replace those players. But this contract is team-friendly and also very friendly to Pat Mahomes.
Is there any chance this contract goes bad? I mean, everyone's praising the contract. They're like, this is so great. I mean, and listen, he's awesome. I've watched him play since, you know, the last few years here, and he's phenomenal. I mean, he's the best quarterback in football. But, you know what happens? Sometimes guys get a little cash. I mean, this is big-time cash now. Could it change him? I don't know the person. I'm just saying, is there any way this goes bad?
Change Pat? No, I will not change Pat.
Okay.
He is, I think, as down to earth as you get for a star quarterback. You know, he doesn't seem to live a lavish lifestyle. If you follow right. him or his girlfriend on social media, you know, they live the life you expect, you know, a mid 20s. He's really still kind of young 20s, kind of yeah. superstar, you know, kind of low-key lifestyle. I mean, they're not out at the club all the time partying. You know, they're working out together. They're traveling a little bit. Like, they, you know, just, I don't think it's going to go. Plus, he kind of already had money, right? Like, he had endorsements. He won a Super Bowl. Like, this is just more money. I root for every player to get paid as much money. But, like, it wasn't like he was struggling for money. It wasn't like he was a seventh-round draft pick who played for 4 years and then got paid a ton of money, almost like a Dak Prescott. Like, Dak might get paid, you know, 12 times what he's already making, 15, 20 times what he's made in his career in the next week or so. You know, that might change him. I don't think it would. But Pat's already had money. He's already a superstar. He's already had endorsements. I don't think it changes him. The only way this goes wrong is injuries. I mean, right, is it injuries. Is you know, he gets hurt and he can't fulfill the contract. I don't expect Andy Reid to coach for the next 12 years. So maybe – you know, the new coach and Pat don't get along well and something happens in that regard. But injury is the only thing that derailed this deal.
We're talking with former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, the Browns have not had a good right tackle since they blew it with your brother and let him get out of town. They seem to have one now at Jack Conklin. They've added Jedrick Wills with the 10th pick in the draft. How much better are the Browns at the two tackle spots?
Well, they're much better, in my opinion. You know, Conklin is good. I don't think he's as good as he's been graded at sometimes by PFF. I mean, I've been over this with them many times, so it's not anything new. I mean, he's a good player. I know his contract number is pretty high for right tackle. I mean, he's good. He's better than what the Browns have had. As far as Wills at left tackle, look, I said this before. I know people disagree with me, but he's only played right tackle. He played right tackle in high school and right tackle in college. You can argue that the reason why he played right tackle in college was because Tua was left-handed and they had Jonah Williams and they just left him at right tackle. I guess, sure. But it does interest me to see him move over to left tackle now for the first time his entire life. I mean, most kids in high school that are elite, tackles play left tackle. I play left tackle. It'd be hard to find anyone who didn't play left tackle. So I just worry about that transition. He's a very accomplished college player, but it feels like people think it's going to be easy, and it's probably not going to be easy. But Bill Callahan's an excellent offensive line coach, and I think the offensive system is for just kind of the offense they're going to run is offensive line friendly. And so it will help those guys kind of get into their roles and get this offense going a little bit.
Jeff Schwartz is with us. Jeff, how much, difficulty will there be with this, limited offseason, maybe no preseason games, training camp's going to be different. Just from an offensive line perspective, I mean, I didn't play the position you did, but in terms of getting new faces together, learning a new system, and getting on the field and developing that continuity, how much does that matter?
It's going to be really tough. There's no question about it. And I know what the PA is trying to do and keep their players healthy in this long ramp-up period, but and it's easy for me to disagree with it sitting on my couch when I'm not the one who has to practice, but I just don't think we're going to have a lot of teams prepared to play this season. I mean, you have, as currently proposed, you have only 8 padded practices before week one. In that week one, you typically might go pads on Wednesday or Thursday. So let's say 9 padded practices between the time you report July 28th and the time you play your first game September 13th. That's just not enough. It's just not enough. Guys are just not going to be ready to play. I think we're going to have a bunch of injuries. I think we're going to have young players really struggling, and not just on the offensive line, but any position where you have to hit, to be contacted, especially young players that have never done this before. Older guys, sure, they might be fine. They may not be. Joe Thomas, who you guys know well, obviously, he said he needed Hall of Famer, like 10 practices to get ready to play. Now, he didn't say whether it was pads or no pads, but I assume there are probably 10 with the uppers on at least, right, to kind of get his hand placement, his punching, everything. It's a Hall of Famer. And now you're only going to have 8 padded practices for the entire team before you play a game. I mean, I get what the PA is trying to do. I get they're trying to, preserve everyone's health for as long as possible to get to the regular season. But I just don't know if that's actually the right way to approach getting ready to play a season. I think we're going to have a lot more injuries because of it. And I don't think they really understand that right now.
Jeff, not sure if you read J.C. Treader's letter today, his NFLPA letter as president. Okay, great. And, we just talked about it last segment. And, it's not positive. I'm sure the NFL is not happy about that because, obviously they want to get things moving. What do you think about his thoughts and where they're going with the guidelines? And do you think we'll actually have a season that starts on time?
I really like J.C. as the new president. It's not really a slight of Eric Winston, but I think J.C. has done a great job so far of being very articulate and being very thoughtful about, how this process and really anything that he's done so far is going. I've been very hopeful that football, at least NFL, will come back on time. I think both sides want to make it work. I think the players want to play, and I think that the owners want to play, obviously. And there's just little things that need to get figured out. But I think the NFL is looking at it like, hey, we need to at least get 1 or 2 games in to get used to, how we're going to handle, the COVID protocols in the stadiums. We don't want to have September 10th be the first day that, we have a game day situation where we go through, how a game day is going to work as far as the protocols. I get the players saying, hey, look, you haven't really provided us with, great medical guidance and how we're going to do this. So, I think Andrew Brandt says it best, right? Like deadlines spurn actions. And I think that as we get closer to July 28th, all these things will get hammered out and we'll find a way to get back to work. Because again, both sides want to make this work, right? NFL players want to play. They want to get paid. Ownership obviously wants to pay a play because they get, they get paid. And there's really big ramifications if this cannot get worked out. The salary cap for future years, is really going to be hurt. As much as they can borrow from the future, which I'm sure they would do to make sure the cap is massaged a little bit, I think it would be really hurtful to the league if they can't figure out how to play as safe as possible. Look, safety is important. I get it. I'm very pro wearing a mask and making sure that you're doing what you can do to prevent the spread of COVID. But I think both sides have to realize that there's some concessions are going to be, going to have to be made. It's going to be an unusual year, and both sides have got to come together and figure out how to make this work best as possible.
Jeff Schwartz with us, former NFL offensive lineman. Jeff, it's been a weird year for many reasons, right? We have COVID. There's a lot going on in our country in terms of protests, demands of social change, things that are changing, right? There's still people, whether it's politicians or athletes, saying some crazy stuff from time to time. And once again, today it was DeSean Jackson. Did you see his social media post?
Yes. I'm like the only Jewish athlete who spoke up on this so far.
Well,
yes.
Listen, I've spoke up on it. I'm not a Jewish athlete, but I'm a Jewish broadcaster. And I've always kind of wanted to ask you this as someone who's also Jewish, because I pay attention to who are the Jewish athletes, because in any sport, it's not common. And I was curious, in the NFL, there's usually like four or five guys. Did you ever feel uncomfortable in an NFL locker room? We talk about diversity in the locker room and how guys get along, and a lot of people say, well, it's everybody's football, but we've talked about it from a race issue, but I was just curious from your perspective how that was.
Well, I never really felt uncomfortable, but there was definitely a learning period. I mean, just a lot of players have never actually like openly discussed religion with a Jewish person, right? Like, I've had teammates say, you're the first Jewish person that I knew. Probably not true. But maybe the first person they ever knew that was like a practicing Jew, right? That they actually were in close quarters with. So look, if you look at DeSean Jackson's comments like that, and I think they're still anti-Semitic and they're hurtful, and there's a big issue here with misinformation being spread. There's not even a real quote. And just some other things happening here. But the general feeling that I have is that he just is uninformed, right? He doesn't really know Jews. Anti-Semitism, for whatever reason, is not treated the same way. Another bigotry. I mean, maybe because Jews have been beat on for thousands of years, it's just kind of looked at as like, someone else did it again. I don't know what the reason is for that. I mean, maybe because we are a small group of people, I think that's where this is coming from. And as far as the locker room, I mean, I was generally fine. I was open to conversations. I actually liked having them with teammates. I had a couple guys try to convert me one time. One in college, one in the NFL. I mean, oh, well, one guy told me my son was going to hell. That was the end of that conversation. It's been mostly good. You have a couple bad apples every now and then. But I just think it's really a lot of it in the locker room comes from just a place of just not really understanding Judaism. I got a lot of questions about Jesus and why we don't believe in him as the Messiah, and like not really understanding that the Old Testament is part of what other religions base their religion on too. It's just like simple stuff. You're like, yeah, man, we kind of like believe in sort of the same thing. Like, it's just the Messiah is a little different. Otherwise, we kind of, the same thing is sort of true for both of us. And so it's just interesting. A lot of people just aren't raised around Jewish people and just don't understand the religion or the culture.
Well said. Jeff Schwartz with us. Jeff, on a much lighter note, David Njoku, Browns tight end, recently wanted to be traded. I've been saying that, and I wouldn't trade him because what's the point of trading him for a fifth or sixth round pick? I want to see if I can get something out of him one more time. He was a first round pick. He's a very talented athlete. What would you do with him if you were the Browns?
Well, in this offense, I would keep him. I feel like this offense could really use two tight ends and be very multiple, do some fun things with him. I'd keep him as long as I could. I mean, I understand players want trades and they want to get out of their current systems and be more power to him, but I would keep him. I'm generally in favor of keeping a guy unless they're just – like Antonio Brown, right? You're like, dude, you got to go. I mean, like you have to leave. Jamal Adams, like, dude, you're stuck in New York, buddy. Like, that's just kind of like the way it is. I mean, you can make things as bad as you want. You could openly root for the Patriots on social media after they signed Cam Newton. I mean, you could do whatever you want, but this is the way the player contracts are set up, and you can be angry about all you want. And I know I don't think David's like that angry at it. But I would keep him. I try to use him as best as possible. Under contract, I'm going to trade him. The best way to use him. If not, then get rid of him after the preseason. Put them in still in preseason. Get rid of him. So I think he'll stay this year.
if I put Jeff Schwartz in charge of college football for the COVID-19 fall season, what do you do?
Well, first of all, I cancel Ohio State coming to Oregon because we're going to have no fans, and that's very unfair to Oregon to play that game with no right. fans. That's my first thing
it
I would
is.
Do.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
I have no idea. I feel very strongly the NFL is going to play, but college football is a complete wreck. I mean, there's no oversight committee. The NCAA is basically bowed out of this. Every Power Five conference is kind of in it on their own. We have hot spots in every conference, right? Arizona, Texas, Florida. Some states seem to care about this. Some states don't. Some colleges are closing. What's the definition of a closed campus, right? I mean, it feels like there's a lot of wiggle room. USC, for example, in Southern California, they're kind of doing all online classes, but we have a couple labs open and we're going to have the library open. So football players, you can practice and play. Like, it's just, I don't know what the answer is. I felt like 2 months ago, even a month ago, okay, we're playing for sure. We're on track. But then we saw the spikes in cases, and it's not good. But I will say, for the most part, though, college campuses, really athletic, I should say, have had low testing numbers besides LSU, Clemson, like Kansas. Out west, our numbers have been very low for the Pac-12 schools that are reporting numbers. I think in the Midwest, you guys haven't had many schools with a ton of positive tests right. so far. Oklahoma didn't have many of them. So they're like doing a good job on campus. I actually think that maybe the safest place for a lot of these players is probably in the football facility. Right. But I think, and on with this, is I do think that players in both the NFL and college are really going to have to take personal responsibility this year to do what they need to do off the field to stay healthy. It's not going to be 100%. Guys, that's positive, but like, dude, you just can't go to the bar this year. You just can't go to the club this year. Like, you just can't go to the movies. Like, you kind of just have to take some responsibility outside the facility to do what's right to stay healthy. And I'm not sure I agree with NFL fining players for being in a club. I mean, it's their own personal time. They could do what they want. Same with the college side. Scholarships being pulled for being in a bar. I'm not sure I agree with that. But I think the players are really going to have some personal responsibility this year to stay as healthy as possible.
Jeff, good stuff, man. We appreciate the insight. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Have a great one, guys. Take care.
You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.